them also. He says, he told the church there, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. I feel like that I know that God qualifies one with the Spirit, and we are to qualify ourselves with the letter. In other words, we are to make ourselves ready to preach the gospel. And then if God, in the time that is needed, will turn the water to wine, so to speak, so it might stimulate you a little bit. You don't have to go to the ABC store to get that stuff, you know. There's a stimulation in the Spirit of God. In other words, there is a peace in this. And we come to get the better things out of life. Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the things which are above are the things of the spiritual things of life. The things which are above are the spiritual things. Seek something off a ground level, so to speak. In other words, and he said, seek. And in another place it says, seek and ye shall find. In other words, seek and ye shall find is a positive statement. The negative part, no seeking, no finding. That's the reason that God's people can't find what they're longing for. That longing that they have in them, their incompleteness. And I hope maybe to try to touch on that here. The incompleteness of what we're looking for that they have not found is because they don't seek for it. Over in the Old Testament, it said, if you will seek me as gold and silver sought, you'll find me. Well, how does men seek gold and silver? Is it in a haphazard way, or do they get real serious about it? I believe they get real serious about it when they start to seek for gold and silver. If I told you that there was $1 billion buried in this field, 40-acre field out here, and you could have it if you found it, tell the public that, well, they'd be in there with maybe kicking around a little with their feet to start with you. Not finding anything, they go get hose picks and shovels and find it, go back and get bulldozers and everything else. Dynamite, and then when they get through, it'll look like a Grand Canyon. That's how diligently that men will seek for the things that are not the things above, but the things which are on an earthly base, which are perishable things. They seek them diligently, and if we would seek Christ, the Bible is saying, as diligently as men seek gold and silver, we will find him. In other words, when we're talking about finding Christ, you can find Christ. In other words, you can win Christ. Paul says, by the way to win Christ is to count all of your, you might say, righteousness and all the good goodies that you have done as but done, that you might know him. And until the time comes when we're willing to lay those things aside and count them as lost as but done, we'll never be able to know him or to win him. To know him is to know him there in the sense of his blessings, in the sense of him being with you, in the sense of the feeding of him, in the sense of his sonship and our ascendance. In other words, there's various ways in knowing Christ. First way to know Christ is in the sense of birth. The scripture says that there would not be any need for one man to teach another man. In this day and time, I'll make a new covenant, he says, with the house of Israel. There wouldn't be any need for one man to teach another man or his neighbor to know the Lord, because they would all know me from the least to the greatest. That all there is all that he gave to Christ. That's all of the election. That's all that he foreseen. That's all that he predestinated. And right on down the line, they would all know me. And every one of them will know him in the sense of birth later. But will they, in other words, man is passive in that, God acting upon them because they are his people. In other words, he loved them before they were sinners. I've heard ministers say that God loves sinners. I won't go. I don't go with that. God don't love sinners. Never had loved sinners. He loved his people before they were sinners. You go to the 5th chapter, I believe, of Romans in there, where it says, "And but not as the offense, so is the free gift. Not as it was by one that sins, so is the free gift." Paul is actually telling us it did not take sin in order for the free gift, and it didn't take the offense in order for the free gift. Why? Because the free gift came before either one of those came. The free gift came before the world was fashioned and the solar system put into, you might say, into existence. And that free gift, and another one of the writers says, we are preserved in Jesus Christ when he wrote that letter. To those that are sanctified by God the Father, that is set aside before the global earth ever took shape of the solar system, set aside, sanctified, set aside in Christ, and preserved in Christ, and called. In other words, you believe that? In other words, that's hard for the world to believe, and it's hard for the human mind to conceive the greatness of God, the wisdom of God. God is wisdom, and we can't teach wisdom. But wisdom can teach us, and we're thankful for that, that wisdom does send teachers and teaches God's people. But to know him there in the sense of birth, we being passive, we are like the clay in the potter that Paul uses. It's used in the Old Testament also. We are the clay and he's the potter. And the clay is passive, and the potter can make it into any vessel that he so wishes to. And therefore, the clay can't say, why hath you made me thus or that, or argue with the work of the potter. In other words, the Lord controls the situation, and he, in one place, he says that he has made of one lump. You may, his people there, I can't get that at this time, but maybe it'll come to me. But the obedience now toward all of these things, we are to be in obedience unto these things, to obey the things of God here in the life. I believe one of the writers says, to hear the word and not be a doer of the word, we deceive our own selves. We hear the word, therefore, when the word is preached, to be a doer of the word. And there we have the blessing in the doing of it. The Lord blesses us in the doing of it. Now, the dead alien sinner, he can't hear the word, but you can hear the word. To those that believe upon me, to those that received me, and so on and so forth, that I give them power to become the sons of God. And that power that he gives you is the ear to hear with. That's the spiritual ear. In other words, the natural man does not have a spiritual ear. He cannot hear these things, therefore, and when he cannot hear him, he cannot obey him, because he can't hear him.
That's right.
But when the Lord borns him again, he gives him power, the power of hearing. I mentioned this yesterday. The power of sight, the power of feeling, all the various powers that he gave unto you, the power of humility. You go down and wash your brother's feet, the power of faith. Brother, we have powers to become and obey the truth of God and obey our God. We have the power to do it with. And don't accuse God falsely and say it's God's fault. If you miss out on the things and the blessings of God here, don't blame it on God. Blame it on yourself. In other words, blame it on our own selves of not studying and not seeking. And to seek Him is to seek His Word. Study His Word. In other words, and by doing that, we will come unto the knowledge of the truth. And when we come unto the knowledge of the truth, well, then the truth, if we obey the truth will make us free. That freedom there is a freedom from being cured off into, as a religious slave. There's a lot of them. The Lord opened the jailhouse doors and took away the bars, but a lot of times God's people seem to want to group behind those things anyway. The truth will make you free from being carried off into a state, you might say, and being made. In other words, one of the writers there said, you're not under the law, you're under grace. But then he made it known to them that this because you're not under the law, but under grace, that they become the servant of those in whom they yield themselves to obey, whether it be of righteousness, unto a truth unto righteousness, or error. Ever who we yield ourselves to obey, we become His servant. It can be to the men of the world, false teaching. You can yield yourselves. And I don't believe that God has ever granted repentance for one of His children to repent under an error or false teaching. I don't believe that's granted, brother. God does not grant them repentance to repent to something that's false. But He grants them repentance to repent unto the things that are of a truth.
Amen.
In Romans 12, I believe he said there, he said, Paul speaking to the church there, he says, brethren, in other words, I beseech you, I meant this yesterday, by the mercies of God, I beseech you. In other words, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice in the services of God. In other words, bring yourself. We don't own ourselves. We are bought with a price. How precious is that price? God is the owner of us. He bought our bodies. That's what He did on Calvary. He gave a body for a body on Calvary. He gave that body that He might have our bodies some sweet day on Calvary's cross. And we are bought with a price. We have no right, one of the writers says, we'll go into this city and we'll buy and sell. We have no right to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We should be like the Apostle Paul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Right. To seek what God has for us to do. And God has something for everyone that He calls in regeneration to do. He gives them a spiritual gift, just like He gave men in nature a gift. All men have a gift, a natural gift in the nature, and if he's never made spiritual, he'll never have a spiritual gift. But he has natural gifts. And these things, in other words, when we find what our gift is and practice that during the course of our life, we will love the occupation that we're in. But to find what that gift is and apply yourself to it in nature, I'm talking about now. You'll make good at that job. I don't care if you're working on a job and he's paying you $10,000 a week. And if you don't love it, you won't do a good job for the man you're working for. You've got to be in, you got to love what you're doing. In order to make a good employee, to justify your employer. And it's the same way in the spiritual field. We have spiritual talents. And we are to bear fruit with those talents. We're to serve God, in other words, in this world. And if we fail to serve Him in this world, you will never serve Him.
That's right.
That's a too late, everlastingly too late doctrine I'm preaching that. In other words, you can wait till it's too late to do anything about it. But if we serve Him, it's going to be here by serving each other and obeying the truth of God and walking out and seeking the better things of life. And we serve the brethren, and when we serve each other, we are serving Him. And we are needed. God's people, the talents that God gives God's people, they are needed. In other words, if every joint in the body is fitly joined together, you can't say you don't need that part of your thumb. Cut it off and see if you miss it. Or your little toe, or some part of your body, it's needful. It's needful. If it wasn't needful, God wouldn't have placed it there. So therefore, God gives gifts. And they're needed. And every one of them is needful. And needs to be placed in the right place. Find their place and what God has called them for. And be at it. If it's nothing but just to fill the pews of the blessed church of God every time there's a homecoming. In other words, this is a family homecoming, the spiritual. We come together, what? To honor our father and our mother.
Amen.
In the old days, large families, we would come together to honor our father and our mother, the natural father and mother. And it makes the natural father and mother feel good for their children to pay them respect as their parents. It makes them feel good. Well, do you think that the Lord feels any different from that? In other words, He has children. He's our Heavenly Father. He has begot us all. I don't care if he's a black boy or Indian or what. If he's got the sweet spirit of Christ in him, we all have one father. And that makes him our brother. Our brother. I call anybody that shows the spirit of God in them brother. And they all have the same father, but they don't all honor the same mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, when it comes to honoring the father, you got to honor the mother. And that mother is the old mother church that Christ set up when he was here. You can't honor the Father in truth and in sense without honoring her. And therefore we are to come together to honor them. We're thankful that they're to be able to honor him and to be obedient unto him. Like I was speaking a while ago there of knowing him in the sense of birth. Now Paul, I go back to that thought again, that he counted all that he had won. Paul was a high up ranking Jew. And therefore, he could speak several languages. I believe a member of the Sanhedrin court. And he laid all them things aside. He says, that I might know Christ. And I knew at that time, when I read that he already knew Christ in the sense of birth. That came on the Damascus Road. I said, well, Paul, what you mean here? You knew Christ. You began to know God because God dealt with you there on the Damascus Road. He brought you out of a state of an Adamic transgressional death to a phase of life in Christ Jesus, his Son, at that point. And now you want to know it. What he's speaking about is this. One of the writers, John, said, he that saith he knoweth him and doeth not his commandment is a liar. Now he's speaking to his children. In other words, he's a liar. If he says he knows him, in the sense of the knowing that Paul wanted to know him, is a liar. Because you cannot know him in the sense of his blessings without obeying his commandments. To obey. And present yourself, you might say, as a sacrifice in his service. Then you can know him in the sense of his blessings. Otherwise, you will never know him in the sense of his blessings. So therefore, God will not bless you when he lays things upon us to do. If we do not do them, we are not blessed in that deed. To know him in the sense of blessing. And that's what we want to do. We want to know more about him and grow in his grace and in his knowledge. And that's what we're doing. We're children. And we're a little scholar, and we're coming to school. This is a school. This is Jesus' school. And Jesus says, come unto my school, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll learn you something. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy, come unto me, not into me. I want you to notice the words. See, Christ has never invited any man to come into him. If you found it anywhere, bring it and show it to me. But he invites people to come unto him. You, in other words, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden. Now, there's something to be studied in that heavy laden and laboring. He invited those that were laboring and were heavy laden along with the laboring. Now, the Apostle Paul, let's deal with him for an example before his experience on the Damascus Road. He was a very diligent laborer. But he did not feel to be heavy laden. In other words, he did not. He even wrote in his own writing, as touching the righteousness of the law, I was found blameless. And in another place he said, where is boasting now? He says, by what law is boasting excluded? By the law, boasting excluded? Is it excluded by the law of works? He says, no. But by the law of faith, boasting is excluded. So, therefore, I lost my train of thought, but it'll come back to me. But the obeying of those things, maybe it'll come back to me again here, the light of the zone, was on obedience here. Now, I'll go back to the text here. I have read it. Seeing you have purified, this is found in Peter, the first Peter. It's found in the first chapter. This one verse is found, 22nd verse. And he's speaking now to the church here in this verse. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obedience, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. In other words, I want to deal with that verse there. The Lord has blessed me too for just a moment or two. Seeing ye have, this is people that has already have purified their soul. In other words, through the in obeying the truth. So we find there in the obedience to the truth that there is a certain purification that we come unto, that we desire there. That's a desire that's in the hearts of all that are born of God's Spirit. And that desire there will boil back into this sense of when I use this text with this. Paul says, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and go cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. There is a cause for a person in nature. I'm speaking about it on the natural line here. When a man or a boy, a young man, gets about 10 and 12 years old and begins to grow out of childhood, growing into manhood, he begins to feel that he's incomplete. There is an incompleteness here. Incompleteness. And I've said this, that if the woman was taken out of the man is not complete without her. Another scripture says that a man has not power over his own body, but the woman, he's incomplete without her. And then to satisfy that incompleteness is why that we start out on a little dating tour. We're seeking. There is a seeking going on. What is he hunting? He's hunting that which was taken out of him. That part which is the woman. She's out there somewhere. When you can find her, you seek diligently enough. I'll say that even I'm speaking in a natural point right now, in a natural field. The things that God has worked in nature will tell the things he's worked in the spiritual field. If you can read the natural part of it, you can see the spiritual part of it. I believe in God's nature Bible. It will harmonize with the written word of God. And in our feelings that we have. In other words, there's a lacking, an incompleteness in his life. And until he can find what he's seeking for, to have the, you might say, to be purification and of all that he was to have in life, in natural life, lies, the power of it lies in that woman. Not in that woman. Well, when we look at it in the sense, now Paul says there, he says, I speak this concerning the church, but nevertheless, let every man be subject to his wife, wife to his man, or her husband, rather. In other words, we are seeking for something that God's children out here today are seeking for, that longing for, that desiring for. They have not come to the fullness of the, you might say, the joys of their salvation. They're lacking. There's an incompleteness. And until they can find the blessed church of God, there's your woman. There she is. And she has power over that situation to obey the truth. In obeying the truth and coming in, as he says here, obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto the unfenced love of the brethren. They have that power. The church has that power, just as it is in nature, for us to have the fullness of the joy of our salvation. The purifying, the purity, as it speaks of here. As he says, seeing ye have purified